Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Jam these Biloxi blues. It happens every night.
Every night.
I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Say.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
Nope.
Oh, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget Live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. And this is the podcast for Monday, February the 6th. And this is Hold What You Got. The 200th episode of this insanity right here. You bunch of low lifers. Appreciate each and every one of you for being here week in and week out. And this is best count I got is the 200th not so live episode. We've got some live ones mixed in there and whatnot, but this is the 200th not so live right here. And man, it's hard to believe. And we got a good one this week. To continue the pace we've been on with lots of fun guests so far in 2023. Just hard to believe. I'm grateful. I tell y'all that every week, and I am. I mean that. I sincerely mean it. I'm so grateful to get to do this and have people care about it, you know, because you see a lot of bass fishing's all about everything in the world's all about this, but content. I want to make some content. Look, I got some new content coming. Content. Some of it's content nobody wants to see, right? There's a lot of that that goes on out there in the world. Our lives are just throw up of content. So the fact that people do settle in here frequently blows my mind. So I am very grateful, and I appreciate each and every one of you. I want to give you a little health update real quick because I've been telling y'all about this in the last few weeks. And as we talk, you might can see it sticking through my hoodie because I'm too fat for this shirt that I got on. Is got a heart monitor right cheer in this general area. So I went to a cardiologist. Mentioned that last week, and basically the diagnosis is for right now is that I have post COVID. Some big word, okay? And what it means is my heart's inflamed. Some inflammation of the heart due to having COVID around Christmas? I don't know. I got to wear a heart monitor for 14 days. They do that instead of a stress test now, more so because it's real life experience, real world experience. And I got a little button. I have to push it every time the triple threat pisses me off. I just push it. Every time the kids do something, I just push the damn button because I want them to know that's why my heart is acting crazy. But it just kind of, you know, it It's really cool how it works. It really sucks wearing it. It is strapped to my hairy chest, taped down. I don't look forward to pulling it off in 14 days. But then after that, I have to get an ultrasound done just to make sure there's no physical damage to the heart. But basically, this this condition that is caused, they're seeing it frequently, and it is it can last 3 to 6 months, but it basically throws fake codes and it makes you feel like you're having a heart attack, and it can increase your enzyme levels that show heart stress and different things. So it comes back on lab work. We hope that's all it is. Fingers crossed that's all it is, but I certainly seem to fit the bill for what they're seeing in that situation. So again, thank you all, you low lifers, for reaching out and the well wishes and for the last few weeks. It means a ton, but I want to keep you updated on that because a lot of y'all are asking, and it does mean a lot to me. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything. Again, this is an episode of gratitude for sure. 5 years of this going into our 6th year here, and it's just it's hard to imagine that, you know, 200 episodes down. You know, it's a lot of fun. A lot of dang fun getting to do this week in, week out. Couldn't do it without the lowlifers, and I can't do it without the sponsors of the show as well. Startron, kicking ethanol in the teeth. Nobody likes ethanol. Ethanol is like your brother-in-law, okay? Maybe some of y'all have a cool brother-in-law. I don't even have a brother-in-law. So it's probably, you know, bad to try to tie that together. But just say I did have a brother-in-law, and he was a piece of crap, right? That's ethanol. And you're like, damn, I don't know why my sister, I don't even have a sister, I don't know why my sister is married to this dude. That's kind of what ethanol is, right? But you can't pour Startron on your brother-in-law, but you can pour it in your fuel tank to kick ethanol in the teeth, in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, but most importantly, in your bass boat. Get ethanol away from your outboard engine. Save yourself some pain and agony. Get you some Startron. We appreciate the folks from Startron bringing you LBL and putting up with my terrible ad reads. I like to freestyle every now and then, you know? I like to kick it. So, moving on. ProGuide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com. You can check them out. Lithium, they got the AGMs. They got chargers on there. They get all kind of good things for you, but trust people that have been in the industry for many, 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 many years. Trust people that OEM boat manufacturers trust, and that is ProGuide Batteries. They are not fly by night, and I can tell you they're great people that make great products. Check them out. You can use code LBL10 to get you some of those lithiums. Check them out. Let them know you're a low lifer. We appreciate the folks from ProGuide Batteries. Baitworks.com, bait-works.com. Use code Duncan-10 to get it all. And let me tell you something. Over there at that East Tennessee Fishing Show, I know I talked about this last week, but they got it all. They got the best prices of anybody around, in my opinion. They got the quickest shipping. They'll get it to you. And now they got that LOB jig. It is in stock. It is in stock. And I had some questions this week about jig colors and different things. My favorites, and the pictures on the website do not do them justice, I will say, and they're gonna try to get some better pictures, so to speak, of the skirt colors, because there's a distinct difference in the natural colors, the greens and the watermelons that I have that I really like. They're subtle differences, but I want you to be able to pick them apart on the website there. But Hot Pocket, one of my favorite colors there. Spot Check, another great color. LBL420. They got our logo, folks, you lowlifers, on the package, LBL. But we're calling that one LBL420. It's like a California 420 jig, which I haven't seen many of. Get on there, check them out, get you some. Tell them you're a lowlifer. I appreciate each and every one of y'all. Last but not least, hang the banner. The Bassmaster Classic winning high performance aluminum all welded bass boat, and you know, 200 episode sponsoring the official boat of Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus, the Express X21 Pro Sea Deck bow to stern 250 Yamaha show strapped to an Atlas jack plate, just screaming, getting it where it needs to go. Unbelievable tackle storage, unbelievable hole shot performance on that boat. Floats incredibly shallow, but also takes rough water as good as anything on the market. Express boats, you want to check them out. If you go for a ride, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Building excitement since 1966. All right, here we go. Back to fishing only this week. Last couple weeks, we kind of detoured a little bit, and I like to do that. I as this is 200 episodes, y'all know, man, I give you everything I got, blood, sweat, and tears. Maybe I ain't bleeding, you know, but I do give you some sweat. Sometimes it's hot in the bar and grill. I do give you some tears. Y'all have seen me cry on here. But I like last week's with Cody Cannon from Whiskey Myers, one of my favorite episodes ever. And I get that it's not just fish. But when I started this show, one of the reasons I titled it what I did, I didn't want it to be blah, blah, blah fishing. There's so many fishing podcasts. I want to be able to branch out and talk to different industries, hunting and music and whoever else, right? Whoever pops up, pops in, whatever. And so we are getting back, though, just to fishing for the 200th episode. I appreciate y'all being patient. Maybe you don't, not a duck hunter from a couple weeks ago. Maybe you're not a music nut like I am and so many lowlifers are, but I appreciate y'all watching and listening the last couple weeks. And there are going to be more of that, you know, going forward. There's going to be more episodes like that. I can promise you I've got a lot of people lined up and that I've been talking back and forth with. So that won't be the last time, that's for sure. But that's the beauty of it. If it's a guest you don't like or if it's something you're not interested, you don't have to watch that week. But I appreciate all you low lifers because you do always come back. Fishing news wise, I want to say something that I forgot to mention last week. Dakota Ebear won one of the first major tournaments of the year there at Sam Rayburn, BPT Pro. I don't know Dakota that well. We've got some mutual friends, and I know how hard he works, and he's had some close calls in the last few years. It's a big win for him, and I don't think it'll be the last time you see that in 2023. I just don't in the BPT or, you know, everything else he's fishing. He fishes a ton of different things. So I think you'll see him hoist another trophy this year. But congrats to him. I wanted to mention that. Rayburn is just continues to kick out big bags. We saw there was a 40-pound bag weighed there this past weekend. Forget the gentleman's name. I think they weighed maybe a 46-pound bag or something crazy like that a couple years ago. So obviously pretty dialed up on Rayburn. That place gets an immense amount of fishing pressure. So to kick out those kind of weights, just it's like Gunnersville when it just continuously takes a pounding, but it still kicks out bigs. It's impressive. But Rayburn's one of the coolest lakes in this country that it does. It changes constantly, but it still has that just giant bass factor. It's a really cool place. If you ever get a chance to go to Rayburn, go down there and get you a beer and a cheeseburger to stomp and go catch some of them big bass. NPFL news. So lots of things have happened there with the NPFL. You know, they changed the entry fee and they changed the schedule up, and they're now starting at Pickwick Lake, and they changed the payout. They're going to pay $100,000. They're going to have a championship, pay $100,000 in it, take the top 25. But they did struggle to get a full field. They struggled to get a full field, but they decided, hey, man, if we can get to a certain number of boats, in their mind, they were going fishing. So they're right around 80 anglers are going fishing on the National Professional Fishing League. They'll be doing live coverage. Everything is they're still going to pay $100,000. So somebody's going to take them $100,000 out of a very small field by professional fishing standards these days. We got some interesting folks that have signed up. Some interesting folks. We got a lot of great anglers coming back, like a Keith Carson. I was excited to see Sheldon Collings come back and join the mix, a young Oklahoma pro who's due to hoist one of those NPFL shields. But I can say Patrick Walters, Coach Walters coming back, Brandon Perkins coming back, Michael Brewer coming back, and I'm sure I'm leaving a lot of folks out. But we've got a great roster lined up for this year. They sure do. And I can say this, we are the only, and I'm looking right at this camera, and I say we, NPFL, we, them, us, are the only tournament trail with two cocks. Cox Watch, baby. We got two, not one, but two John Coxes in the NPFL, son. Two. The guy, John Cox from Georgia, who's fished with us for 2 years, has had some success in the NPFL. I call him the other John Cox, being funny. He's actually the older of the two John Coxes. in bass fishing. But then we've got the one and only, but not only, John Cox from DeBary, Florida, Elite Series, BPT, FLD. He's going to roll out there with his buddy Keith Carson. He signed up as well. So going to get wild in the National Professional Fishing League this year, but the roster is dropping, I believe. I don't know. Maybe it's posted already by the time you're listening to this, but going to be a really neat year again in the league and in hopes of, you know, these guys are making sacrifices to make this happen. And I feel like in to get through this year, because they did, they made some of the decisions late, you know, and that's what Fat Cat and I talked about. They dropped some of this news in December. A lot of folks already made their minds up. Hey, I'm fishing this, I'm fishing that. They already had deposits in or whatnot. And so I think, you know, going into 2023, they'll have a great season, but I think they've just got a chance in 2024 for a lot of anglers to give it a look, especially if they can continue this momentum, those great payouts at the top end with the $100,000, continue that championship. Look, they're going to take 25 guys to the championship, 100,000 first place. Everybody gets a check for qualifying for the championship. So you got around 80 dudes, 25 go to the freaking championship. That's pretty cool. That's very cool for me. So gonna be interesting watching it all go down, but certainly some certified hammers. I always say that. We got some new guys that I don't know, and I apologize. I don't know them well yet. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. We got guys like Trent Palmer coming back. You got Adam Savage coming back. We've got a lot of anglers that are going to make things interesting. Michael Yoder coming back. We've had Yoder for a couple years now. Lots of anglers. Jordan Nettles, I mean, several folks that have fished with us for the first 2 years coming back, and then some new additions too, you know. So it's going to be a fun season. You're going to want to watch that for sure. All right, 200. I've had, it's been so funny because these are, I mean, it's just another week, right? But I've had a lot of folks reach out saying, man, who are you going to have for 200? Who are you going to have? Who are you going to have? So many. And I've thought about it. And I kicked around a lot of ideas. And a lot of people are like, Swindle, man, get Swindle. Man, get Fat Cat. Man, get Boyd Duckett. Man, get whoever. So there's been so many things. And this year, one of my resolutions, goals with the podcast is to have a lot of different folks on that I haven't had, you know, repeated guests and just because I enjoy conversations and I enjoy getting to know people. And I think you've seen that, you know. JT Kenny's a friend of mine, but it was cool having him on. Mark Zona's a friend of mine. I've had him on in the past, but not recently. So it was cool having him. Taku Ito. This kind of the list goes on and on for the first few weeks of the year here in season 6, however you even call it, whatever you want to call it. But heading into episode 200, I really racked my brain. And this guy, right here is arguably, not even arguably, I'll say this and piss half of you off, the best bass fisherman in the world. Okay? He will go down as one of the best to ever pick up a rod and reel. Period. End of story. It don't matter which format. It don't matter which league. He catches them. He and I have... We've gone back and forth about doing episodes in the past. We've never been able to really make it work. And I am proud to say we finally got him on LBL. And I'm glad he took the time to do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, episode 200. And the best guess I could think of for it. No more introduction needed than that. Ladies and gentlemen. Low lifers, friends and neighbors, Jacob Wheeler. Well, as promised, here he is, the man, back-to-back Angler of the Year winner on the Bass Pro Tour. Too many titles to name. Youngest ever Horsewood Cup champ, blah, blah, blah. Just all this stuff. It's just a laundry list, really, of accolades. Jacob Wheeler, thank you for joining us, buddy.
And I appreciate you having me, Luke, man. It's always... It's always fun to connect, man. And you've been working hard, man. Congratulations on 200 episodes, right?
200. You're the 200th right here. This is it.
200, man. That's insane, man. So it's a lot of work. I know a lot of people watch and follow you. So it's a lot of some cool stuff, man. It's a lot. It's a long way, man. You come a long way.
I really appreciate that, buddy. It's a long way from the co-angling days in the FLW. That's for sure.
Hey, for sure. I know all about that.
Yeah. Watching you beat up on those boys back then. I had somebody one time, they're asking me about your angling ability, and I'd never got to see it other than just on the water, but I never got to fish with you as a co. But I covered the first year I fished as a pro, I got to do the coverage at the Forestwood Cup on Wheeler there on the water. And I got to watch you up this creek, just dissecting all this cover with a buzzer and a jig. And I'm like, this is next level. Like, I came away from that with this even greater respect, like, holy cow. So known you for a minute now, man. And it's just crazy to see, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Bass Pro Tour, just where this career has evolved, man. And we talked a little earlier today about how much work you put in and all these pre-fishing trips, different things. Are you settling down any now that you got, you're a papa of two, or are you still pedal the metal?
You know, I obviously when you start your career, you sort of like, all right, I need to work really hard, you know, and sometimes it takes a while to sort of like learn how to prep and prepare, you know, and then obviously as you're growing up and you're trying to build to get to your dream and get to the place you want to be in life, you know, you're like, you know, you're really only focusing on you. So then obviously it is changing a lot with obviously I got married 5 years ago and then, you know, now we have two. It's definitely slowing down a little bit. I've just learned to spend my time a little bit more wisely, maybe. That's it. Like, maybe not practice pre-practice every tournament. Maybe spend, hey, these two might benefit me. I probably should go there. I've never been here. I've never been there. Maybe I need to go. It's so hard because like, I love to know the playing. I just like to know the lake enough to where I can make adjustments on the fly. But at the same point in time, like even for instance, last year at Watch Bar, I went for like a day and a half, you know, and obviously Watch Bar is close to the house. So I went for a day and a half, looked around a little bit, and when like April when the water was lower and marked some stuff, thought some stuff looked good, got a view, you know, a vibe for the lake, and ended up almost winning the tournament. So that's the kind of stuff that's, you know, it's obviously beneficial, but you definitely have to, you know, tone it down a little bit. I knew that was coming, but it's just, you gotta slowly, I'm slowing down a little bit more.
I tell a story. I've told people this about your work ethic. You guys had been to, you won on Pickwick in a Toyota Series. It's been a couple years ago, and I know you remember that because you blasted them on the home pond down there. It was the same year you won Chick and the Invitational and or Open. I forget what they called it, but you, the Super Tournaments, I believe is what they dubbed those that year. But I remember you guys had been to Florida with BPT, I believe. And I was putting in at Waterloo down on Pickwick, and there you are, because Chick's off limits. And I'm like, no, wait a second. So this dude has been at all these tournaments. He's fixing to fish on his, you know, it's his home pond now, Chickamauga. Fishes it a lot in the summertime when he's home. And I'm like, he's down here. And I think you might have had some media folks with you or something, but you were down there specifically for trying to stay in tune with this offshore Tennessee river bite. Then you go over there, you crush it. I think you caught a 10 pounder cranking or something ridiculous. They don't even bite crankbaits anymore. That's what I'm told and what I feel when I'm in my boat. What they do in your boat.
they bite them. They still do. It just depends. Normally it's only for 2 weeks out of the year.
It's about 2 weeks, but what I'm getting at is I don't think people see that, man. They see the trophies, they see the cardboard checks, they see the social media posts, but they don't realize what goes on in between that. And that sacrifice, that's time away from family to make sure you're constantly as sharp as you can be to go up against the field you go against weekly. So, man, I just commend you for that because I'm lazy, obviously. Look at me. I'm lazy. And no. I love bass fishing as much as anybody on planet Earth, but I don't know if I love it as much as you do. I'm as obsessed, you know, and I say this on the show constantly, you have to be obsessed to be at the level you're at, but dude, you've just taken it to another level for so long. It's impressive.
I really appreciate that. I mean, it's, there's a lot of work that goes into it, but I think there's a lot of things you just get motivated by, and you hear the term, you know, oh, I hate losing more than I love winning, but that's how I feel a lot, you know, and it's like, if I don't put all 120% into those events, I feel like I'm cheating myself, you know, and it feels like, hey, I'm not representing the companies that support me as well as I possibly can. I'm not, you know, representing and taking care of my family as well as I possibly could, but maybe it's spending time with them as well. So it's just figuring out, you know, that balance, but it definitely, there is, it's like, you know how it is. It's like, it's for me, this is all I do. You know, obviously I fish professionally, and then I do the YouTube thing, and I, you know, obviously I work on PD, a lot of stuff within products coming out and this and that. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, those are the things that, it's competition just drives you, you know, and when you're fishing in some great competition, you're forced to sort of pick it up and you get your butt kicked a couple of times to realize like, these guys are working a little harder than me, or they're thinking a little, they're outsmarting me. I need to pick it up a little bit.
No doubt about it. I had Jordan Lee on right before Christmas. He was my Christmas present to the Lowlifers. And so you're the 200th episode gift to the Lowlifers, but Jordan kind of spoke to those same things, and you guys, and I know Dustin Connell's in that mix, Mark Daniels Jr., but you guys at Little Outens, really, you know, he had a top three in the points this year, catching them. You got Ott Defoe in the mix and so many other, I'm leaving people out that are going to get mad probably, but I think you guys all push each other, right? And that's what Jordan was saying, is that drive, that competitive spirit that all of you have, you don't want to lose to each other, right?
No, I give so much. Obviously, Jordan, I want to beat him, and then obviously Dustin wants to, we all want to beat each other. I hate losing to Lucas, and Lucas hates losing to me. So
I can see that.
We have fun with it. We used to actually not have that much fun with it. We used to be like, I can't stand that. I'm not gonna. No, it was sort of like, and then we're like, dude, like, all right, like, all right, Lucas, you're a freaking pretty good fisherman, like. I like beating you. And he's like, yeah, I like beating you too. So like, we'll be rubbing it in like a little bit, to the point where it's
saying you didn't get along. You guys kind of butted heads a little bit at one time, or was it?
I think early on we did a little bit, but I think that was just a little bit of the, you know, being young, you mature, you know, you get married, you have kids. You're like, all right, this is a little bit like, all right, let's shake on this. And like, you're actually not that bad a dude.
Hey, Lucas is a lot too. I'll say it right here. Oh. He's my buddy. He's a lot. I'll tell him that to his face. I love him like a brother.
I enjoy his perspective on things. I do. He's a lot, but he has a lot of good different. I'll call him up and I'll ask him about something, or we'll be talking about this, and I'm like, "What's your thoughts on this?" And he's like, "Oh, I think this." And I'm like, "Oh, that's a different perspective. Yeah. I like that. Makes you think a little bit differently. And I think that's what, you know, it's always good. It's like when you have buddies that are a little bit, you know, think a little bit outside the box, you're like, all right, yeah. But he's definitely tuned up.
Lucas is also that friend, though, that everything he's got is better than your stuff.
It's the best.
Rods and reels, boats, trucks. I got to give him a little bit of crap just because he is the guy. We'll say this. Through all the crazy, whether I'm criticizing something or whatever it is, he is 1,000%. There may be people that hate me that'll never speak about, if they think I'm wrong, they just turn me off. They never want to hear from me again. Exile, right? Lucas is like picking up that phone, calling, texting, hey, you're wrong or you're right. I love that. Like, I've loved that. And he and I, he's like, hey, you got this wrong. Okay. Explain to me why. And then I never had a problem going, hey man, I was corrected on this because I found out this wasn't correct. And that's good. That's what, because everybody's got an opinion, right? But it doesn't mean they're correct. It doesn't mean it's necessarily the dead on fact. And I love that, being able to go back and forth. So I got to give Justin a little crap every now and then.
No, I that's what, one thing I respect him more than anything is like, if you had something that's like, hey man, this is, he'll call you out. And I don't know about that. You know, he'll call you out. So I like
straight
that.
Up. Quick.
He's straight up. He's a straight shooter.
That's right. Him and my buddy Justin Atkins are really close over the years. And I don't know how they get in the same room sometimes, because they're both right about everything. I have to say that. Sorry, Justin's. Justin squared. I have to give you some crap. So with Connell, I want to ask you this, because you guys are tied at the hip, I feel like, and have been for a long time. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy beating him, or is it like, I know you're proud to see your bro win back-to-back tournaments, but I also feel like, with, you're so competitive, you'd like to beat him also, but is that, I mean, I know you're proud, but do you smile pretty big when you do get one over on him?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think that, you know, I've always had respect for Dustin's a very, really very, very good fisherman. He's insane. He's really, really got to where he's got confidence in his own ability. He makes good decisions. He understands how to adjust on the fly. And he's really coming to his own the last 2-3 years. And, you know, I think that a lot of times it's like you learn from your mistakes. And I think I've seen him over the years, like learn from some of the mistakes maybe he made earlier in his career. Cause like, I mean, we talk about all the time, like I have 4 or 5 years, we're both the same age, but I have 4 or 5 years of tournament, professional tournament fishing experience that I've learned from. Like, look, you're just a couple years behind because like, it takes time. And now he's like, he's firing all cylinders. And yeah, absolutely. I want to beat him. But as soon as it's like, even at Cayuga last year, we battled it out. We had fun. I ended up second. He won, you know, in Red Crest, he won. I got third, you know, we just like, to me, like, but I've never been so happy for him when he wins. Like I'm there, you know, his number one fan after the tournament, but same point in time, I'm not letting him, I'm not like in any way, shape or form trying to not win. Trust me. I'm doing my power to win. So I remember last year he comes in after Cayuga, and I was trying to battle. I was focused on Angler of the Year, and it was like the middle of the tournament, and I was battling that with Lucas to try to win the automatic bid to the championship, because I'm like, all right, if I lock that up, I'll pretty much. So then I barely miss out, and I pull off some fish. I didn't want to burn them all, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna back off because I don't want to, like, I don't know what else he has left in the tank, and like my battery died or something like that. And I come back in, I didn't practice. And I typically will, but like I didn't. And Dustin comes back in, he's like, I found him. And I'm like, frick. And I'm like, cause I knew I was on the best largemouth stuff, but I knew I was. Cause I kept some stuff in the back pocket. And I'm like, I got some stuff in the back pocket and I'm about to trash them. So like that I've not made a cast on. Like stuff where your stuff won't even hit the bottom. Like they're there.
Bouncing off of them with the plug. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, and then he told me that. And I'm like, dang. And so like after the first period, we were both like, he had 55 pounds and I had 50 pounds. And we're like, I knew it. He's like, what the heck? I didn't have enough left, but I just knew it. I was like, so it's just funny. Cause we always, I knew, I'm like, as long as, like, dang it, Dustin. I knew he was fishing for smallmouth, and I was just doing my thing largemouth. And he's just like, he just got dialed in. And I, you know, obviously learned so much from each other. Cause like there's things that we talk about, like, you know, intricate details of everything. And like, dude, they're doing this. And I'm like, I've never seen them do that. And you're like, huh, really? And I'm like, yeah, I caught them, you know? So there's a lot of stuff we learn off each other. And that's what, like, I think that we've always said iron sharpens iron. And when you have a group of anglers, like, you know, even MDJ and Adrian, all are very sharp, great anglers. You just learn so much from each other, you know, and y'all have your own strengths, and, you know, it just might be a knot that someone ties. It might be a hook that someone uses differently. It might be a technique that, oh dude, I don't need that. Like I use this, or there's just so much knowledge that it's just a lot of fun though too.
No doubt about it, man. You know, something I've read online, you know, you get comments now, Facebook wise, everybody, you're kind of split down the middle with the live scope thing, the forward facing stuff. And I've seen people make this accusation. They're like, well, Wheeler wouldn't be good without live scope. And I'm like, I can think back to whether it's old FLW days or the FL All-American days or whatever, like you're a river rat. I think that's what people forget, that you are a straight up in the dirt. You like to fish that way. I feel like you are one of the best shallow water anglers in the country, but whenever that forward facing got out there, I feel like you were one of the first ones to really get ahead of the curve on it too, though. Is that a fair assessment?
100%. And that's like, you know, you have to adapt as technology comes out and there's opportunities. Like, I mean, think about, like, I can't even imagine, like, back in the day, like when Christy won up there on St. Clair, like when we were fishing the elites, I think it's like maybe 06. He had like active target, like live scope by himself. I'm like, all those guys that had it like initially and knew what was going on, it was just like, now obviously there's so much that's come on since then, but I'm personally like, I love to fish out. Like my roots are fishing current, and I fished Wednesday night. Sorry. I had a dang low battery saying we're good.
Good.
So I fished Wednesday night tournaments on the White River in Indianapolis my whole life, you know, growing up. And so that's just what I love, like flipping laydowns and cranking rock and catching smallmouth, flipping for largemouth, frogging. Like, that's just what I've done. And that's what I was comfortable with. And that was really what got me, you know, obviously winning the Forested Cup. I caught him up the river and I caught him on bluegill beds, which I learned the bluegill bed deal at Ouachita the year before when I won All-American and I qualified to fish the Forested Cup that year. That's how I learned that. So I was able to piece the two things I learned together and make it work at Lanier. So it was a progression, you know, and you grow, and each year you learn a little bit more. And I went from like a specialist of like, hey, I'm a shallow water, top water fisherman, up the river kind of guy, to now I'm a generalist. And now I'm, you know, you bring in the Tennessee offshore side of things and understanding how to graph and really understanding what they get on, what's sneaky, what's not. Then you add, you know, forward facing sonar, and, you know, forward facing sonar is really cool because to me, like, I just feel like it revitalizes, is like, there's a lot of fish that don't get targeted, you know, and you can't, I mean, you could not target them, you know, unless they just came up underneath your boat on 2D and you happen to drop down there and catch them. So that was like, it really is sort of, it's a cool thing, like the fact of suspended fish, and they're out there in the middle, they're chasing around and they're moving a quarter mile a day, and you got to relocate them. It's like, you know, it's not like, okay, hey, you got a waypoint on this spot, and if you get there to this spot, you're gonna catch 20 pounds. But if you don't get a good boat draw, you're not gonna catch them. Like, you know, it's not like that. It's like, you now can just like, I could be in 60th. And those fish moved 200 or 300 yards, and I figured it out faster than you did. And there was like five boats in that area, and I understood that faster, made an adjustment faster, and I caught 20 pounds. So it's not about boat draw. It's not about that. It's like it's adjustments on the fly. Now, of course, it doesn't always play. You know, it's definitely opened my eyes up a little bit more, understanding like what, like some, like about fishing and what fish do. Like, they swim way more than you think they do.
So much more. Yeah.
You just
so
don't, you're more. Like, what the, what?
Yeah.
Like even on like Tennessee River stuff, like they're out there for a second, they're swimming around, they're here, they're there, they're moving around, they're broke up. It's just like, it's a completely different deal. And you just thought, like, we thought in our mind, like, at least I always have thought, like, okay, well, they are sitting over there on a stump somewhere, they're doing this or doing that.
The magazine stuff, right, that we're taught as kids, you think, oh, it's a stump, that's where he sits, he's a big lazy bass, but they're not that way at all. No, on forward facing, no. At all.
No, and so it's cool to see that, though. It's also really cool. But it's also really cool to see how well they can hide as well. Like, you could go and you could pan out there, and they could be like six of them on a play. I especially in the winter, they just sit their belly on the bottom. It's so interesting to me. You cast a swim bait out there and you start whining, and all of a sudden you see like 10 of them come up off the bottom. You're like, dude, where they come from? Like, and they're just sitting out. So there's things like, you know, you're not seeing them all. I enjoy it. Obviously, like last 2 years ago when I won three tournaments, I won one sight fishing with the cone. I won with a big cone, big orange cone. I won one skipping boat docks with a chatterbait with a vibrating jig on a shad spawn in a topwater. And then I won one on active target. So, I mean, you know, there's obviously like, you cannot have your whole game revolve around that in the sport and expect to consistently be towards the top. You're going to have your tournaments. Absolutely. But I try to tell the kids out there that are, you know, they're like, oh man, I gotta be better at active target. I gotta do this. You do have to be efficient at it, but you need to also know when to turn that sucker off and head to the bank.
Well, I think it goes hand in hand with like a sight fishing derby, right? Where you can get burned just as quick as you can win the thing, blow it out. Like, you have to have a backup plan sometimes. And I think that's where the hatred for forward facing sonar drives me crazy. It's like, well, that's all these tournaments are. And just like an MPFL, I get to commentate, I get to watch hours and hours and hours. And yeah, We may have a guy win one with forward facing, but there'll be a lot of people that are very consistent throughout the week that aren't using it at all.
Absolutely.
Or you'll have a guy that's, you know, a Patrick Walters. We saw a couple times last year, like on Lake Hartwell, we had him penciled in for the win just because he was so dialed with forward facing. He knows the lake well. He's won there before. And he ends up getting beat by Folk Sightfish, and a big wave moves up. Guy lands right on the goods and beats him on the final day, you know. And it's so it's not it doesn't take every title in the sport like it's put out there by folks that aren't fans of it necessarily.
Change is hard, you know. Anybody that deals with anything, right. You know, change is sometimes it's the end of the world, and there's no doubt. Like side scan and down scan has changed the sport. There's no doubt that CMAP and Lake Master changed the sport. Sure. Better map came out there. We just haven't seen it so apparent with looking down there at the graph. I do think there's that the leagues will have to figure out at some point in time how to have a live feed of active your active target or live scope or whatever. All, you know, connected to your feed, like on your video feed, because think about it, like everybody, there's a lot of people that will watch someone play video games on YouTube.
1,000,000%.
You know, but you're actually like hunting them. You know what I'm saying? You're making a bad cast. It would be sort of, it make me feel bad. Like you make a bad cast and somebody's like, oh, I could have hit that one easy. You messed that up so bad.
In the comments.
It'd be so much more entertaining, you know, to see what we're visually seeing and why. I'd hate to give up all, you know, there's so much knowledge that you're like, you know, that's early, but it also would be very, I think it would be obviously informative, but I think it would be entertaining because to see like, oh, he went down to the bait. Oh, he's going to bite it. He's going to bite it. Nope. Oh, he's falling. Nope. He's falling. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So that's just the reality of it. And it's getting tougher and tougher. So I think that has to happen. I also think that we are sending a little bit of a wrong message to the youth out there a little bit with so many graphs on our boats.
I would agree with that.
I was part of the reason started the whole thing with, you know, obviously so many dang graphs and so that I had three different graphs on the front and two in the back. I mean, I would not mind to see MLF and Bass and MPFL have a limit of like, let's say it's like 4 12s or 48 inches of grass on your boat, period. Like, yeah, we've been throwing you on 4 12s for 10 years or 8 years. Like, limit it to that. Like, you want to do a 16 in the back and three up front, whatever, you can do that. But you could only do it like, you know, you got to some, because like there's 17 grass on your boat. I got 70 trains. It just,
oh, no.
I mean, I don't mind it, like, but I also don't want it to become a deal where it's not attainable. Like, people, it appears unattainable to the anglers out there either. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that for the sport either.
I'm with that. Can you imagine? I just had a random ADD thought pop into my head. When you're saying the maximum length of grass, can you imagine back in the day, Bill Taylor out there with a measuring tape? Oh, Jacob. Jacob, you're 2 inches over, but we're going to have to sideline you today. I'm sorry.
You're going to have to slide up there and get one from Cheryl. Get that HDS9 going, buddy.
You're going to have to get that 7. You can't go. That image of him just.
Oh, I know.
Stanley didn't. I think there was a team Stanley for a while when what was the Walmart? He had a Stanley tape measure out there.
Jeez. I can't.
Billy boy, I was talking to somebody about Bill earlier today. He's the goat, Bill Taylor.
Bill's hilarious, man. There's so many times I just laugh. Bill, he's a genuine dude, but he's freaking hilarious.
He is that. I got to do an LBO with Billy at some point.
I want to.
He likes to give me a hard time in life, so I think it would be a good time.
That would be a really cool one. I'd have to watch that one myself.
Yeah, it would. It'd be a lot of fun, man. So. We got to talk. You're talking about the changes in the sport, and this is hot on my list. I've been getting, everybody knows I work in the marine industry. I sell boat parts. I do a lot of things. And obviously, in typical you fashion, I feel like you shake things up a lot. First of the year, you're like, oh, by the way, I'm designing a bass boat. Here you go. And I've had more, listen, DMs, comments. They're like, Jacob Wheeler, started his own boat company. Jacob Wheeler's doing this. So let's get the story on Icon, because I too have had a little bit to do with this boat. I'm proud to say we're building some parts at TH Marine for the live wells and different things. Working with some of the engineers up there. I got to do that last fall. It's really cool. I saw the boat before you even made your announcement. I was ready to see that go public.
You were at the end. You were on the end.
I was on the inside. But I swear, man. I've not seen Fat Cat Newton. Talking to my buddy Fat Cat today, and I'm like, yeah, I got Jacob coming on for the 200th, and he goes, dude, please get the scoop on this boat. Everybody is talking about this. Of course, you're working with HCB Yacht Company, right? Like, it's their, you know, they purchased the Hydrosport brand, I believe, a few years ago. They've been in the boat business a long time. But how did all this kind of start? What's your overall involvement level, if you don't mind saying, and where is this headed?
So it's really cool. The story behind it was, so a good friend of mine, Brent Butler, a few years ago said, hey man, like I want you to come up and look at this boat. And I said, okay, take a ride. And I said, okay. So they're up there around Vonore, Tennessee, which is like an hour from the house. And he just mentioned that, which we like good friend. I've known Brent since I was, before I started fishing professionally, since I was 16 or 17 years old, coming down here around Chickamauga. And so I'm like, I come up there and I jump in this mule boat. Like, it's just a mule boat at this point in time. And I run it because I'm like, oh, and like, and I said, this is the boat? And he's like, yeah. So we get out there and we run this boat. And I'm like, dang, that's pretty cool. Like, that's a good running boat, man. It's the turns unbelievable. It doesn't, you know, blow out. It's like, it's up on pads super fast. I'm like, huh. Okay. He's like, well, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on it. Like, just something I'm working on. And I'm like, I didn't know nothing. Like, and I'm like, okay. So like this sort of like comes up, like, and as I have conversation talking with the main people there, working with Brent, I'm like, look, they're like, hey, you gotta get on this. I'm like, absolutely. I want in. So I got the opportunity to really help design with Brent and a lot of engineers. Some of the things like the top cap of the boat, things that I wanted in this, you know, some of the storage system. We have a sliding storage system that basically all of my tackles in the front, basically more towards the cockpit and the console of the boat, where you put more weight back there, you know, and I slide, using up the majority of the weight there. There's just a lot of little things from the live well system, the L2 live well system, and having a chill plate, you know, in the actual live well, where you can, you know, go down and turn the live well temperature down and you know, and that's obviously huge for you know, the conservation of the sport. So from that to being able to push a button and put G juice or keep me alive and say, I want 2 ounces every hour in my live well fresh, ready to roll. So there's a lot of things, obviously that's just a few things. There's a lot of things in this boat that a lot of time went into it, a lot of prep, and the majority of it, obviously it's my buddy Brent, it's the guys there. But I was able to do something that I was able to actually literally start to build what I wanted. You know, I didn't obviously get back down there and like, hey, I'm going to build the hull, and I'm going to actually run the surface.
They weren't letting you do the chine. They weren't like,
they're sitting back there. They're like, I'm like, guys, that's not going to work. I'm like, they said, what do you want? I'm like, man, look, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what I want. Like, but I'm not going to tell you. You guys know way more than I do about a boat. And so, you know, so it's really cool. I learned more about a bass boat, and I've learned more about what doesn't work and what does, and the prototyping stage and having these boats and being able to like, man, this is a great idea, and then I want to do this, and then actually getting out there on the water and be like, no, that was a horrible idea, we don't need to do that, you know. So it's been a lot of work, it has been, but it's been so much fun. And so, like, of course, with a yacht company and HCB being center console coming out with our first boat, we're going to have a quality boat. you know, you want to show what you can produce. You want to show the quality, the craftsmanship. I truly, out of the boats that I've been in, this boat, as far as the fit and finish of this boat, man, it reminds me of like the old, like quality of like old school Ranger stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Dream boat.
I'm just saying that it reminds me, but a step up even there, like even more detail, even more thought, even this. So there's really a cool, and obviously I'm fishing out of the boat. I had a good friend of mine that's a really good fisherman and been in several different bass boats over the years, jumping the boat. And that he made that comment as well. And he's like, man, this is like, wow. Like, so, you know, it's insane. Like being able to get on pad and like, I mean, it's this boat's a, you know, a huge deck. I can fit 18 rods on the front deck. So obviously huge deck, you know, stability, there's a lot of things to it, but, and I'll be honest, this is the first, because it's the 200th episode. I actually got the green light to say all these things. And so I'm like, well, hey, since it's the 200th episode, I'm going to spill it right here with Luke out here talking about the icon.
And so I like it.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's a little bit of the backstory of it. Like, you know, there's a lot more to it. We could talk about it, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see, obviously the future's bright. There's a lot of plans, future plans, and what's going to come out. And, but man, it's exciting.
Well, I think it's interesting when you're like, yeah, they don't want me designing a hull, but when you talk about all that you learned, there's so much that goes in. And I'm lucky in my day job that I have been, for a redneck kid growing up in Tennessee that grew up in bass boats and close to bumblebee boats over here growing up, and you have no idea how any of this works. I have been fortunate to be a part of some of these bass boats through TH Marine from the ground up. And it's truly amazing to see it go from A to Z, and then you get to go for a ride in it, or if you're lucky enough to own one to fish out of them, to see what happens from the minds of some of these engineers, especially on a hull. And there are probably gearheads listening to this, like, well, go into why you do this and why you do that. But there are some amazing hull designers out there in this country that can, and they can make, I mean, little bitty tweaks can make such a big difference in the overall performance. It's really a cool thing to be a part of, and to see that whole process. What is one thing though that you're the most proud of? I know the LiveWell system, and I've through talking with those guys too, it's going to be special. Like, it really is. They're putting a lot of emphasis on that, as all boat companies should, right? I mean, primary focus. But what's the number one thing to you that you're most proud of, like input wise, that they took from you, that's the Jacob Wheeler signature on this thing that you're the most excited about, maybe?
You know, I had a lot to do, you know, with working with the tackle side of things and the tackle storage. Like, for me, that's obviously being on top of, you know, being able to be more efficient on the water is really important to what I do day in and day out. And so, like, then also being able to add more value there, so that they already had a, you know, a huge storage system there, you know, where I, you know, center console storage system, being able to do that. But then it'd be also to have that, working with Brent on this and those guys there, and be able to have that sliding storage system, to me is like, it's unbelievable. I'm like, you're moving all that weight towards the front, from the front of the boat, and sliding, and it's stacking on top of each other. Now you're locked in there. So where now you're always like, man, I got to bring all my weight back there. I put all my heavy stuff in the back and I do this. Now you have the majority of your weight is, you know, towards the cooler area, you know, and now you're taking a lot of that to where your bow lift is still good. So that just helps the overall performance of the boat. I mean, you don't think it matters that much, but it absolutely does. And it does. So, I mean, the LiveWell system is really cool, because I feel like, to me, it just, even to me, it was more so like just being the automated system of like being able to say, okay, hey, like turning this on and having it say like every 2 hours. And my biggest thing was like, all right, I want this thing to be very simple. Like, I want it to be like iPhone. Like, we all have an iPhone. I don't want it to be, I have to go through 14 different pages. Like, it's, it needs to be the, you know, dummy proof. I'm not trying to go through here and reprogram something. And no,
control, like, delete.
No, I'm not trying to do that. Like, let's just make it simple. So that was the goal. And so that was a really cool deal as well, just because, like, not knowing your live well temperature, even something as simple as that, like that, watching your screen and saying, when you sit down and having your home screen, hey, your live well temperature is 90 degrees, or your live well temperature is 50 degrees, you know, or 70, you know, and keeping a monitor on that is huge. I'm like, why did we not have that already? I mean, like, you know, you look down there and it's a hot summer day and your live well temperature is 100 degrees. You're going to be like, dude, all right. Or 90 degrees. You're gonna be like, yeah. I better have something. I better be putting some ice in there or whatever. You know, you're going to be paying attention a little bit more. And so I think that's something that's always, you know, even some stuff like that was simple, that, but it was so great that like, how could we not think of like that beforehand? And so like a lot of the, even like the prep, like even inside the live well itself. Okay. Inside the live well, from taking every sharp edge. Okay. Of anything inside the live well that has a sharp edge. I'm like, because like obviously I'm fishing catchway release tournaments most of the time on that BBT. I'm fishing some invitationals this year, but the live wells are what every weekend angler fishes. You know, they put them in the live well. That's how it is. I fished 3 fish tournaments on Chickamauga. I put them in the live well. That's what I grew up doing. That's what I'd still do. I try to take care of our resources as much as we possibly can. With the more anglers competing day in and day out, we try to just take care of our resource. So I'm like, how can we do that? Well, you could create a better live well system. And so like, it's even from like, you know, a point of like, hey, if the live well, if the sensor senses that the live well level water level is just dropped, you know, below like the top, like basically to the top of the compartment in the live well, like where we don't want, basically, long story short, it's hard to explain without you seeing it, but basically keeping your live well full so there's no sloshing around.
Yeah.
You know, and so your live well's automatically filling up to that point. So there's no sloshing around. If you're out there on the Great Lakes and you're running and you're hitting waves, those fish are in there and they might be getting moved around a little, but they're not getting beat up. There's nothing for them to beat up. Like even the top end of your lid is literally padded where you have it, where if they hit it, they don't get hurt. I mean, there's just a lot of that stuff. So it's like,
that's cool.
There's a lot of cool things. And I'm learning, like, obviously more and more as I get a fish in the boat. Like, I'm like, man, like getting up on pad in like 2 seconds is like, you would, I mean, it's a 21 foot boat that I'm in. And I'm like, and it's like 21, you know, plus. And I'll get up on pad and it's like, choo, like gone. Like, you know, whether I'm Okeechobee or I'm on like somewhere in backwater, like that's a huge deal to me as well. Like, I mean, it's just, it's the small things to me that make a big difference. And, you know, but yeah, so I don't want to go on, but that's basically
that. That's awesome, man. I know that, well, you can go on all night about it, I'm sure, because you're so excited, and people would probably enjoy every second. Because, dude, I'm telling you, it's been the news of, I feel like, our industry, especially from a fan's point of view. Golly, I'm telling you. I'm like, look, I'm going to have to get Jacob on just to talk about this damn boat, because I don't have all the details. I've got a few details, but I don't know even what I'm allowed to say in my TH framework. You know, I'm going to let Jacob do it. So the launch will be at the Classic, though, and they're in Knoxville, Tennessee boat brand. So price point wise, what are they thinking? And this is just as everything. I mean, it's a beautiful boat. It's got all those features. Is it going to be kind of in line with where everything else is fiberglass wise right now, or what?
It'll be in that Ranger, you know, high end price.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is like, you know, and like I said, like, you know, you're coming out, and that was a big thing as in discussions on that side, is like, cause I don't want people to think either, like, you get to where you're like, hey, people think a certain way, like, oh man, like, you know, hey, you got to look out for these little guys too. Absolutely. But when you go to build a great boat, you know, when you go to build the boat, you want to show what you're capable of, and especially partnering with HCB and working with them. Obviously they're fit and finish on all their center consoles and their boats. They're just insane. So let's make one of the best boats, the best built boats, let's fit and finish, but long-term we're not forgetting anybody else. So we got some things down the road. Yeah. You know, and so Obviously excited about the launch, the classic, and that'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see a lot of my good friends, and then obviously sort of seeing, I don't know what the heck, I got BJ up there. I got my buddy BJ. Sorry, he's up there in the back. You might hear that in the background.
I thought that was a dirt bike.
He's up there vacuuming. I don't know what's going on.
I thought there was a trihawk in your house with a dirt bike. I didn't know what happened.
Might have been happening. I don't know.
I was so confused for a second. There's no telling. Hey, it's LBL.
You never know. You hold on.
It's amazing.
All right. I had to yell at him. I muted myself.
That wasn't Paul George like dunking on something in your house, was it?
That was not. That was my good buddy BJ, Brian Johnson. So Brian and I have known each other since I was like 14. He's been my biggest mentor. And he was up there washing my dishes just a minute ago. I'm like, dude, stop washing my dishes, man.
I feel like you've always got a squad, dude. I feel like you roll deep. Wheeler rolls deep. Like, I feel like you never know what you might be rolling up with, man. Like, I see you this summer, you're over there, and what was it? You and Alicia were in Greece. You're at an NBA star's wedding. No big deal. I'm just a bass fishing guy over here in the middle of this. You never know where you guys might be. Then you're down in the Caribbean or wherever. You guys were in Costa Rica, right? You and MDJ. I think that's where you guys were at, and Adrian. Yeah.
Yeah. We always gotta, you gotta enjoy life. I think you learn. You gotta treat the wives when you can.
You better learn
when you're gone so long. Like, yeah, you better step away and turn the phone off every once in a while.
So I'm gonna give people a trivia fact right here. I'm gonna give people, low lifers, listen to this. Jacob Wheeler and I, we have a lot in common. We love bass fishing, but the number one thing we have in common, this is something he and I are both good at, and I'm not as good at fishing as Jacob, obviously. That's why I have this podcast, and that's why he has all the trophies. we both have a son named Hudson. You've got a Hudson. Yeah, I've got a Hudson. I noticed. Nope. I don't think I realized that until tonight. I was looking at some stuff, and I was like, holy crap, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
got a Hudson.
A strong name. I said,
strong,
man.
Name.
Strong name. I said, all right. So we had Olivia. We went pretty quickly, and then we were like, oh yeah, Olivia's a good name. And then Hudson. So Alicia was going back and forth. I'm like, no, we got to go with Hudson. I love that name. So she's like, yeah. Yeah. So he's a little lazy sucker right now. He doesn't want. He's like 15. He's 14, 15 months. Like 4 days ago, 6 days ago. Anyway, so he's like, we took him to the doctor, and he's like, can you walk? Can you walk? No, he's not walking yet. And he's like, and then he gets up, and he's like, stands. He's just scared to walk or something. I'm like, he just wants his mom to pick him up all the time. I'm like, Leash, you got to stop picking him up.
You know how that'll go, though, because you saw that with Olivia. Once they start,
dude,
it's just chaos, right?
you push him back down.
Right. You're like, please, just be lazy. Be lazy for 5 seconds.
He's fast enough crawling. I don't want him to run.
That's awesome, man. The dad life is certainly one that is one of the greatest gifts in life. There's no doubt about that, man.
There's something that there's nothing you can prepare yourself, you know, to sort of get ready for it. It's truly special. It's getting tougher though, like you said. It's getting tougher now. You know, when you get dad, you know, now Olivia's 4 and dad's like gone. It's like, Dada, why are you gone? You need to come home now. You know, she's a little bit, I'm like, all right, I miss you. I'm like, oh man. So
that's rough.
That is, it is. And it just started this year was really when it started hard. And I'm like, gosh, you know, so that's that pulls on you a lot. So you want to get home when you can.
So any thoughts of having them travel with you at any point? I know we see a lot of bass fishing families do that, or is that, I mean, I personally, it's not that many, as far as the tournament, it's not that many weeks on the road, but you do a lot more than that with promotional work and different things, but you do see these families on the road. But I also appreciate when a wife and family stay at home too, right? Like two separate lives. They don't, you see some of these and they just uproot their lives to kind of go on the road to the bass fishing circus, as I call it. And it's just, that can be just as hard as a wife and kids being at home, right? I mean, but any plans for that with you guys to kind of family on the road?
Alicia will come to a few of them every year. Like she, you know, obviously it's easier when you're talking about, you know, a 15 month old or and a 4-year-old. It's a lot easier to deal with them when you have everything at the house, you know. And
sure,
so I understand where that goes. And then obviously when you're competing, but it's awesome to get them, you know, have them blast off. And excuse me, typically about half the tournaments they'll come to. And so that's always great. I mean, now, you know, so that's a good range, you know. When I'm like fishing, a championship round, typically they're at least half of them, they're three quarters of them, they'll be there. So that's always like, it's always good to have that support there. But I also understand, like, look, you know, when you take the kids out of the routine, it makes it, it's a lot tougher than the sleeping arrangements when you have four, you know, we have all our camera guys in the house, like our wives show up and you add that all, then you add kids to it. It's crazy. So then no one gets any sleep.
Oh yeah. That can definitely throw a wrench into things.
It definitely does. And then I have a day off, but then Mark and DC are fishing the next day and they're up and like, it's just like, you know, it's funny. Or like I have, you know, it's just, yeah.
It can be a lot. I know I've traveled with some families on the road at tournaments because us as anglers too, you get in your routine of what you do too when you're out there by yourself for so many years. When you throw a family in there, it just changes the dynamic of what you can do, and you're hanging with your guys. It changes things. I get it. Completely. I understand it.
But y'all are sort of getting there. You know, Adrian has a little one as well. Yeah. And so everybody's sort of like, you know, we all know that we're all dads hanging out.
Just the dad crew now. Just dad. Old men. Just old men winning trophies.
Yeah, that dad crew. He's like, man, I'm gonna wait a little bit.
DC's waiting. He's holding.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't. He might be. We'll see. We'll find out.
That boy's not home. He's not home when he's home enough to make a damn baby. That boy's
He's always out on Mitchell or dang Jordan. I was like, stop. Leave them bass alone, big dog.
Listen, he's got them named on that Coosa River. He always has them.
Trust me. He calls me up all the time. Man, they're biting. And listen, every time he calls me up to go down there to go fishing with him, he literally catches like 87. He catches them all the day before. Then he invites me to come down. And we get there and we catch six of them. That's typically how I'm not even joking. You ask him every single time, oh, man, Bubba, they're going to bite tomorrow. We'll catch. He's like, man, I caught 77 of them today. I'm like, yeah, that's great. We roll up, man, these ones ain't biting anymore. I'm like, yeah, you caught them all.
They know the serial number on your hole, DC, at this point.
Justin, like, call me before you smash them next time or leave a few. Call like, I'm not even talking about, like, just give me, like, 10 bites.
Call I drive me all the way to 10 bites. I think it's going to be good next week. You should come. Don't call me after it goes down.
Trust me, I just gotta go like on a whim. So I'm like, hey man, I'm coming down. You're gonna take me fishing. Like that's probably the best chance. See, MBJ gets to go on a few of those real good trips as he's right there, and he's like, yes. Man, we caught 20 pounds of spots today. I'm like,
that river is special, man. I got to fish an ABT 100 down there last year on Jordan. I've never been on it, and such a cool fishery. I get the obsession because it's small. You got current, then you got the lower end. You can do just different things, fish docks, fish water, willow grass. Like, dude, it's a cool fishery. So I understand that. All right, so I got to ask you this. Format changes. Again, the internet chatter. They're changing this because Wheeler – they're changing this because he's beating them. And I have to remind people, and I've done this on the show many times since the announcement came out about five fish, that you happen to be a guy that's won at, you know, every level of those five, those old five fish tournaments as well. So I don't see it impacting your ability to compete at all. But what was your take on that? Because on the overall format change, I applauded MLF for listening to the anglers. I know you guys had a core group, but in your initial, and I've kind of heard stories of how that got kicked up. Jordan Lee told it on here. Gerald Spoyer told it on here, how that all kind of came to be. But what was your initial thought on that?
So my initial thought was sort of like in between, because I obviously, like, I love what I start, you know, fishing five fish tournaments. But I love the fact about Every Fish Counts that, like, it took, like, when you needed to catch one, you could do that. Like, where it was like, I'm just trying to, like, you could, like, it made it more, like, sport-like to an extent. Like, what I mean by that is, okay, like, when Steph Curry goes down the court and he's got to get, you know, hit, he's got to hit a three-point shot to win the game, he knows, hey, I need to shoot this three-point shot. But, like, in a scenario, or, like, he needs a two-pointer, he can go up there and, you know, lay it up and, you know, potentially win the game. Like, I feel like sometimes, like, when you're down by 5 pounds or you need to hit that lucky half-court shot sometimes in a five-fish limit tournament and, you know, to even be in a position to do well. But, like, you can't just free throw them to death.
That's right, yeah.
You know, so
small ball, yeah.
You don't have the control of it as much in a five-fish. That's why you don't see the consistency. That's why you've seen when, you know, two tournaments like a year and 2 years ago, you wanted to see Dustin win three, I won three, because there was less luck in it. And I'm not saying there's luck in it, I'm just saying there was less luck in, you could control it a little bit easier. There was the strategy. If you had more places and you were on more stuff, it would show. Like, it was not a question, or like, you literally caught way more fish, you were going to be performing at a higher level, which I like. Like, I love that, but I also like the fact of it bringing it back to where there is a little bit of like, hey, I got to figure out how to generate two big bites today. Now, I could go throw a glide bait all day and, you know, and catch two big ones, or not catch two big ones, and Dustin does a glide bait all day and gets two big ones, or, you know, I have six follows and he has two to eat it. You know, there's scenarios like that, but like, I enjoy both. My biggest thing behind it, I really was in the middle. I was 50-50, because my biggest thing about the whole deal was the fact that no young anglers could compete in the format. And that, like, that's what hurt my feelings more than anything, because I love the format and I felt like it was an awesome way to compete, but it didn't, no one could relate to it.
It's tough. Yeah. Or duplicate it at like a local level is tough too, right?
That was the reason that, like, if I'm 50-50, I pushed that way to change it. Because until, like, I still think the format's phenomenal. I still think if you fish in that format, you're like, whoa. But no one, it can't, you know, in club tournaments and weeknighters and stuff like that, you couldn't do that to this point of like catching every single fish. Every fish counts. You have to weigh them and then the boat, and you really release them. Like, there was, the technology just wasn't there, and it wasn't going to be out in the next year or two. And it was supposed to be, but, you know, so, like, long story short, it came to the point where I'm like, hey, look, like, when we set out to do this, and we sort of, you know, have sort of jumped on this, and there's a lot of, like, there was a lot of changes, and it went from a 1 pound minimum to a 2 pound minimum. Changing, and like, if you thought and you signed up for MLF, which was a completely new format, and there wasn't gonna be a change, obviously
nothing's gonna be perfect right out of the
gate. It's not, right? Yeah, there's obviously a lot of changes, and there's a lot of things that sort of have transpired, but it's really also cool to see that the league, you know, they listened to the anglers, that there was more anglers, you know, obviously there was, I think it was like 75% voted to keep, you know, to go to five fish. And so that was my thing, is like, if the anglers want that and that's what they feel, I'm cool with it. And we also have, you know, the team series and heavy hitters is still Every Fish Counts. So you sort of get a blend of both, you know, and
yeah,
and I like that. So I really do.
Are you got Red Crest is still, it's going to be five this year, right? Okay. I wasn't sure on that. I didn't know if
they were going to go back and forth because you qualified for it. But I'm like, look, if you're going to go five fish, I mean, Norman's a great lake to go for five fish too.
Oh,
and
for
so,
sure.
You know, so because there's so many, you know, if you do a 2 pound, that's the thing that was weird about it, is like, you do a 2 pound minimum or a pound and a half minimum. It's like a pound and a half might be too small, but a 2 pound minimum is like too much.
That'd be tough.
Three bass to make the cut. You know what I'm saying? So, you don't want it to be a big bass tournament, and you don't want it to be a dang, you know, it's a tough deal. But like, if a scenario like Norman, like, you could do a pound and a half minimum and a five fish and it doesn't even matter. Or you go to Florida and you do a 1 pound minimum because it's 12 inch size limit. It doesn't matter because it's not going to affect the overall. Yeah. It's just not going to affect the winner.
You saying that just made something jump out at me. Are you guys doing a pound minimum on the lakes, or is it going to be a keep like a
It'll be limit. Close to the keeper size is what the goal will
okay.
be.
Okay.
So it'll be closer to a keeper. So like that will be the goal, is to keep it as close to a keeper as possible.
But there'll still be a weight minimum. That's
it'll still be weight, because size minimum would be tough with there's multiple different officials and
I get it.
Thought of it like, yeah, I see in touch, scenario.
Interesting. Okay. That's I think it's pretty cool too. And you guys aren't keeping them, right? So you're playing a game, you're turning them loose. You're not actually game and fish can't come by and give you a ticket for having a short one. So whatever is closest to that length limit. I didn't realize that. I don't guess that's not something I'd even thought about. That's because some places in that five fish format, like, hey, we're going to a 2 pound minimum. You're going to be like, uh-oh.
Gee.
You're saying Norman. Yeah, dude, that's.
There's a lot of fish in there, but exactly. So,
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you think with this format, and I keep saying format, it's not groundbreaking, right? We're five fish. That's the world. That's been the world for 20 years. But with the ability of the score tracker, and you guys can see what everybody else has got, and it's in real time. I think that is going to be very cool for BP.
That is so cool.
It's going to change everything.
There's so many tournaments that I've went out and I've competed, and I'm like, I need to catch 25 pounds today to win. And I fished that way. And little did I know, if I would have just fished the way I was, I caught 18 pounds, I would have won the tournament. Yeah. So there's those are the things I really am looking forward to see, this catch weight release, score tracker updates, and a five fish. Like, you don't have the control, obviously, to kill catch, to move the leaderboard like that, but you know what you need to do to catch a better than average fish. If all you've been catching is 2.5 pounders and you have 12 and a half pounds.
Oh, we lost Jacob. Jacob, I'm not sure where Jacob went. His phone must have died. Please hold while we try to get Jacob Wheeler back on the phone. Hey, gang, look who I found again.
Right, I'm back. I didn't know
what we were talking about.
I didn't have my phone charged all the way up, but I am back. I am back. I think we were like right in the middle of the conversation of the five fish and
strategy.
And the store tracker and being able to adjust and that was something. Yeah. I think that's obviously there's a lot to that, and that's something that I'm looking forward to. Like, picking up a big swim bait is going to be fun.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Picking up a big crank bait is going to be fun. Yeah. Rolling up to a school and trying to catch the biggest one in the group. I enjoy that.
Yeah. I was going to say, are you, cause I know Adrian likes to throw the gliders around and stuff like that. Do you have that in your wheelhouse?
I do. I like catching them on it, but they piss me off more than they do it too much. They follow it way too much. They're just like, they tease you and you're like, gosh, why do you just bite it? It's so addicting when you have a great day on it. I don't think you can, maybe you can catch five in a single day doing it, but man, it's just like, it seems like it's pretty tough to consistently get five to eat it.
I think it would be tough to catch five every single day of a week long event. You know what I mean? Like that would
you be would have. Yeah, you could do like one day and get lucky, like if the stars align. But there's sometimes. It's fun. I enjoy it. I do. I've caught some big ones over the years on it. I'm by no means, and he's like a glide bait expert.
Yeah, I love to do it, but like you said, I like to buy them, much to my wife's disappointment.
I do too. I literally have like thousands and thousands of dollars worth of them, and I'm like, have you ever thrown that one? I'm like, nope.
But they're beautiful.
I got it. I got the Hinkle. I got the AKGB. I got that one.
So you're a tackle junkie then, for sure.
Oh, I gotta have them.
That's amazing.
I got to have them all. I have a drawer full of them, like special ones. And I'm like, have you thrown that one? Nope. I haven't done that one either.
And that Arashi glide's about as good as it gets.
They are.
Less than 40 bucks, man.
I've caught every single big one I've ever caught on a Arashi glide. Other ones. I have Roman maids. I have Hinkles. And I'm like, I catch them on an Arashi. And I'm like, let me go on this sucker around. Donk.
Yeah.
7 pounder. And I'm like, how do I even buy all this stuff?
My wife and I were at the East Tennessee show. I was over there working last weekend, and before I left on Saturday evening, I was like, "Hey, Buka's here with the bull shad booth, and they got all these custom painted bull shads and things." And I gotta find them. And I walked around there sniffing it out, and I find them. And she's like, she's never with me at anything like this ever, you know. So she doesn't know the damage I do most of the time.
She doesn't know.
No, she doesn't know. And so she's looking at the prices, and she's like, that's in your hand is $140. Just that is $140. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm just looking at all of them. And I'm like, I need one of these, one of these, one of these. She's like, I think we got to stop at the jewelry store on the way home.
Yeah, you're like, babe, you aren't really supposed to see this.
No, you're. This is the world you're never supposed to see.
See, I get away with it every once in a while because I'll be like, well, honey, like, you know that turnaround one 2 years ago? I caught two great big ones on this. Didn't happen.
I need
a couple more of these, see?
You say, Alicia, go through that trophy room. I got to have more of these.
See, that's what happened with that one and that one.
You see this house? That's why.
I need
10 more of these. That film. You didn't catch any of those smallmouth. It's the same. Yeah,
I don't think so. Maybe you did, though. Maybe you did something. So that's hilarious, though. No, I love tackle.
You can't. I mean, it's tools of the trade, right? That's a cliche saying, but it is. I mean, it's just in your world, in our world, we're all obsessed with it, but you have to be. You're paid to be obsessed with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to tinker. It's fun to see why things do a certain thing or way or act a certain way, why a bait's so good or why it's not. Understand why. Like those are something that I never really took the time to care about before I got in the PD side. And then I'm like, why is that bait so good? And then you start to really dive into it and you're like, oh, so this does this. And I've learned a lot from Ott, just even talking on the crankbait side of things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you want a little bit more wiggle, or you want this, or you want that, or you want it to cast better, you know, so it's always like, I'm like, that's okay. I see. So that's been a lot of fun to deal with.
This wasn't even on I'm winding it down here. I've got a couple more things, but this wasn't even on my radar, but then you're wearing this Rapala hat. We're talking about crankbaits. I'm a cranking junkie, even though you can't catch them on a crankbait on the Tennessee River as we've talked about anymore. How good is that damn DT8? Can we just talk about that? The DT6, the DT8 was DT6 is my favorite. DT10, a little bit bigger body size. It gets a lot of bites too. But that freaking 8, it's the same size as that 6, runs a little deeper. Like, how good is that plug, dude? Can we just talk about that for a second? Can we just nerd out on some crankbait?
People don't see it's a little bit more subtle too. So it's like, so it gets good. Like it's really cool. So it's like basically like a wiggle wart, like depth wise.
Yeah.
Of like, and like on a cast, I was catching them on St. Clair one day up there when I first had it, and I was just cranking it. And I can get it like on a cast, I can get it to like 10, 11 on like a long cast, like you know, like long cast. If you're cranking banks, you're gonna get it like 8.5, 9,
yeah,
but like long cast 11. So, but it's just like when they're in a foul mood and they're goofy, like that profile, there's just something about that profile of the 6, and then ultimately be able to use that same body in 8. And It's pretty special. Like you people don't really talk about it a lot. It's subtle, so you don't feel a lot until you get locked up.
You're gonna say you feel a lot. I feel a lot on it. But yeah, they never like swallow that dang thing.
Man. I think the biggest thing that people don't, you know, and it's taken me a while to understand this as well. Like the baits that catch the most fish day in and day out are the ones that are a little bit more subtle. You think of like a beaver, you think of like shad wraps, and subtle like movement is like the most natural action in the water. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and so that triggers fish more day in and day out than an aggressive action. That, you know, it might be the aggressive, you know, action on one day, but day in and day out, they're the more subtle, consistent days, like high pressure, you know, most days they're going to bite that subtle action better.
No doubt. If you told me for the rest of my life, all I can do, Luke, every day you go bass fishing, this is what they're going to eat is a DT6 and a DT8. I would die happy, man. I love that. I've looked well, and look, when I was a kid, it was a Bandit, like a 200 series Bandit, and it's still good. Don't get me wrong. I got a whole bunch of them suckers.
I
like my 200, but when the DT6 came out, it was like, oh, like a heavenly light shot. And I kept saying, man, if this got just a little deeper, and then we got the 8. And I remember talking to Swindle about it. I'm like, dude, can you get me some of those before the world gets them? Like, I need a dose of that right before it came out. Have you tried Ott's new, what is it, the Rocco? I saw those at the show. I'm not messed with that.
It's very, very good. It has a good amount of thump, which is perfect. It's not too aggressive.
Okay.
So like I always rate it, like, as a buddy of mine, Norm Coulter, he makes some crankbaits, you know, and he's really good at that as well. But he's always talked wiggle wobble. Okay. So he always like, oh, it's a 0 to 5. I just go 0 to 10. So like I would say like a Rocco is like a 6, like in a wiggle, but like a wiggle where it's a 10, I would say a DT8 is like a 2.5, like a 2. Yeah. 3, I would say a shatter app's like a 1, and I would say I would say it's probably like a 6. Okay. It's like right in the middle, but it has a good thumb to it, and it runs about, I would say right at, I would say 4.5, but it doesn't get hung up, you know, it runs good through wood, it really does a good job.
Okay. Yeah, I just saw it at the East Tennessee show, I knew it was coming out, but I had some folks asking me in the Baitworks booth about it, and I'm like, hey, I can't tell you about it.
Tiny's a freaking fish catcher, though.
Yeah, Tiny's a trouble.
Tiny, you cannot not catch a fish on Tiny.
Yeah.
Like, you have a hard time not catching one on that. That plugger runs about, like, right at 4. And if you're wanting to beat your buddy out of the back of the boat.
Yeah. I've seen Tiny. That a couple times.
I swear, I was out there fishing against Watson in that Pickwick in the MLF deal. And I wasn't catching any big ones out the back, but I was throwing Tiny behind it in the prop wash on mud, like mud, and they're just locking up on it. Like, literally, there's mud coming behind the boat, and I'm just casting back there, and it's like, I'm catching them. Like, I caught like 10 of them, you know, but I was like, he's like, what the heck crankbait you got on? Like, it catches a lot of fish.
Did you have a hard time when you were leaving that tournament knowing that you let James Watson win? I'm just saying.
It took a lot for me. I said, dang, I couldn't believe, like, James, like, there was one fish, like, you know those moments you're just like, all right, it's his time to win.
Yeah.
He literally, it's not even, listen, he had some, this is crazy stuff. There was a pine tree that was in the water. I'm not talking 6 inches. I'm talking like three inches of water. And he throws his vibrating jig up to this pine tree and catches a 3-pounder. And I said, boy, there ain't no way. There's no way. It's freezing
cold.
I could not believe it. I was like, and then in the same, like, he goes up this bank and he rolls in his pocket and he throws in there and he hooks a 3-pounder. He goes to both of it, comes off. He throws out there again, hooks another 3.5-pounder. He's reeling it in, and he's like, I'm not going to boat flip. So he goes down there, and he tries to get it, and he can't get it, and he breaks his rod, and it comes off. And he throws a fifth. He throws out there again and catches a 3-pounder. And I'm like, you cannot make – I'm like, just take me in. Congratulations, James. You freaking he smashed him, though. He legitimately did. And I was just like – but I was in awe in the moment. I'm like,
he sent me the clip.
I couldn't believe it. I was just like,
he sent me the clip when he's got poor Polly Lice in the back of the boat and he loses a big one. And then he loses another one. He lost 2 and he's cussing and going crazy. And they had to bleep it all out on the show. I've got the unedited clip and I've started to play it on here 100 times. It's so fantastic. And he's going crazy. And then he catches just and I've fished Pickwick my entire life. I consider my home lake. And he catches a giant smallmouth just in the middle of nowhere on a chatterbait. And he gets in the boat and he goes, just when I was fixing to kill myself. Like, it's like one of my favorite clips in bass fishing history. He knocks off Jacob Wheeler. He just has this incredible week. And dude, it was awesome. And for him to get on that little pattern that he got on.
Oh, he was on it.
But, dude, it was frigid that week when you guys had snow. It was like 18 degrees or something.
I know on that flat step, it threw me for a loop a little bit too. I was like, that threw me for a loop in that one too. Cause I ran up the lake and I thought I'd get him away from, cause I thought he was fishing down the lake a little bit. So I ran up the lake and I'm like, I got him up the lake a little bit. He's not going to make an adjustment. Well, and he made a great adjustment and he freaked out. Oh, I'm going to stay up here and fish the way. I'm like, so I was trying, I thought I had him in like a little bit. Like, he's going to run back down the lake. I'm going to hit that stuff later. And I'll be like, you know, I'm like, gosh, and he freaking trashed him. Just fishing new water, which was great. That right there, just running a pattern is what like bass fishing is all about. Springtime fishing. Hey, this stuff looks exactly like I was fishing before. Going with it and rolling with it and catching all that flat stuff. I'm like, dang it, James.
Yeah, it was so fun.
I'm like, I was proud of him. I really was. I shook his hand and said, man, good job. Dude. You whipped my
just
ass.
Beat you. Yeah, you just beat me. Yeah, plain and simple, straight up. All right, last thing. I'm going to put you on the spot. I think this is a good one. So you are BFL All-American champ. You are Forest Wood Cup champ. You've won Bass Fest. You've won Elite Series. You've won multiple BPTs. You've won Angler of the Year BPT. Any part of you, Jacob Wheeler, you got to get a classic to close out this career at some point. What does that look like? I mean, and a Red Crest, obviously. No disrespect to the Red Crest. Like, yeah. I know, because you're going to get one of those. We're just assuming that's going to happen. Probably happen to Norman. Hell, I don't know. But I'm saying, like, to complete this career, storied career up to this point, it's going to just keep growing. Some part of you, do you want a classic at some point?
You know, to me, okay, so this is the thing. I've always thought about that, like, oh man, do I want a classic? So every year you have a goal, you know what I'm saying? And you just sort of have a goal of like the last few years, my main focus was like Angler of the Year.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to win Angler of the Year. I wanted to prove it to myself. The first year was like, worked out. You know, I was behind and was up and I came back and then I won Angler of the Year last year. Now I'm like, all right, what is my, I mean, like, it'd be great to win Angler of the Year again. Don't get me wrong. But it's not as like, oh my gosh, I got to prove that I can win Angler of the Year. Now, man, I don't know. The classic is the classic, you know, it's got so much history behind it.
Of course.
But to me, like, just to me personally, it comes down to like who I'm fishing against.
Okay.
And so when I'm fishing against Jordan Lee, when I'm fishing against Lucas, when I'm fishing against Odd Defoe, when I'm fishing against Dustin, I feel like I mean, consistently, I'm fishing against some of the top anglers in bass fishing, period. And so, like, that's what, like, when I fished against Odd and I got second in the classic to Odd in Knoxville, that was like, oh man, like, you know, it was his time and everything worked out. But I've never really thought about it, because like, to me, it's more so about the anglers I'm competing against.
Okay.
Like, if I'm competing against, like, the title's a title, but to me personally, it's about who I beat. And like with Jordan, like, if Jordan's not there, if Lucas is not there, if, you know, those guys, like, they're in the top five, you know, they've won as much as they've won for a reason. And they've been so consistent over the last couple of years. The reason they're all in the top five in Bass and Roll rankings is because Michael Neal, even.
Oh yeah.
Those guys are the top. They're at the peak of the peak. Those guys are the top of the top consistency wise. And they have been, at least for a while. And so, like, that's to me, like, I don't, can that change? Absolutely. 100%. But to me, like, my thing, and this is something that I want to fish against the best. And I'm fishing against some of the best anglers that the bass fishing has to offer. And if that changes, then that my mindset might change a little bit too.
Okay. Yeah. I just, you know, it's like Tiger Woods winning all the Masters, right? And all the green jacket, gold jacket. Who was that? Who said that? Happy Gilmore? Green jacket, gold jacket. Who gives it? So it's kind of like that. Just to say you want it all. That's my thing. I'm like,
oh, so
competitive.
Yeah.
I feel like for you, you're like, and I'm not saying you're laying in bed at night going, oh, if only I could win a classic, my life would be complete. I'm just saying for the mantle, for just the exclamation point on this career where you won. I mean, dude, to me, the All-American is one of the most prestigious titles in this sport. To win it as young as you did, absolutely incredible. Forest Wood Cup, I hate that it doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. It was such an amazing event.
It was,
and Red Crest is young. It's still young, but it's it's getting there. And you're, like you're saying, these top anglers are fishing. We had the expo last year. You guys did it in Tulsa. It's gaining traction. It is. I think Charlotte will be big this year. I talked to some folks from MLF this week about it. I think it'll be a really great show. I think it'll be a great tournament that time of year. So that trophy on your mantle is obviously one you've got your sight set on. But
that's more priority because that's in my grasp right now, I feel like. Yeah. But, I think there's always, you just never know. I mean, it's not in my immediate future. It's not in my mindset, but you never know what's down the road.
Is there anywhere in you, and this was, again, not on my list here, we'll end on this one. Do you think, because there has been a lot of division, and you were actually a guy that reached out to me, and I appreciate it so much. You're like, hey, man, I want to do your show. Because, I have been and still would be of Bass, MLF, whoever. I'm that's what I do. I talk about stuff. I give my opinions. Not necessarily because I think I'm smart or because I think I'm right. I just give them to you because they're mine. I get them off my chest, right? That's what I do week in and week out. So, but my thing is this, there's been a lot of division. I feel like the dust is settling though. Finally,
I would agree.
It is settling. Everybody's kind of getting in their own worlds and Bass is fine and BPT is fine. And things are going okay. Right. Do you, any part of you wish though that you could fish against some of those guys? Could we have this combined some point? You know what I mean? Like, are there guys you're seeing over there like, damn, I wish I could take a run at Lee Livesey at Lake Fork? Or you know what I mean? Like, are there guys on that side that because you've never competed against a lot of those guys? So will we ever
get that? Would be awesome. That would be awesome to me. That is something that would be unbelievable if we had a. Even if you had like a three, you know, if you had a championship, I don't think that would ever happen because I think either side, it doesn't make sense to, they don't, you know, Bass wouldn't want to do it and MLF wouldn't. I don't think either of them would want it anyway.
No, I don't think,
but you would have to be a third party, you know, like Toyota Bass Classic, how they did that, you know, something like that. And a scenario like that would have to happen in order for it to actually legitimately happen. So, yeah. I mean, that would be awesome because I think there's a lot of people. There's a lot of great anglers over there. There's a lot of, I mean, you look at Patrick, you look at Lee, you look at, you know, obviously Brandon competing against Brandon for a lot of years over the last few years. And, you know, fishing over at Bass and BBT a year. There's a lot of great anglers. And so I think that's, you know, you obviously, I think that the sport as a whole has to be a little bit like, not saying smaller to a point, like, all right, if you could long-term make it to where you had 80 of the best anglers under one deal, if they all got together, I think that would push it in the right direction. Like, I mean, what I mean by that is like those 80 anglers would really be in a good position.
No, I agree with that.
The marketing dollars would be there. The money would be spent with, you know, I don't know if that, I think that's the best long, or 100 anglers or 150 anglers or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm just saying, I think that it would, because there's a lot of bass fishing. I'm a fan of bass fishing in general. Like I watch MPFL. I've watched Bass Elite events. I watch MLF events when I get done with a lot of the tournaments I'm fishing. I'll go back and watch a lot of the stuff because I just enjoy bass fishing. I've always had.
You learn, even though you're Jacob Wheeler, there are nuggets out there.
Oh, absolutely. And just, it's interesting to see how someone else dissects a body of water and does something a little bit different than maybe I do, you know, and that's what makes each fisherman different, you know? But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, like, you know, I long-term, I would love to see something to where we all can compete against, you know, against each other together, which would be, and now that it's like all a five fish deal, now it would make a lot of sense. Yeah, where every fish counts. It was like sort of tough because you're like, all right, how do you do that? You know,
how you pick, but I think it would be cool to do man, East versus West All-Stars. Let's get them together. Let's top 10 in the point standings at the end of the year from BPT top 10, and then have this like shootout deal. Whoever's watching, you got some Icon boats. You know what? Sponsor it. TH Marine. Let's go. Let's go.
They could do it.
Yeah, let's go.
There's only a handful of people that could, but you never know.
Let's give away a yacht.
There you go. Like a big giant swing. It was 53.
Or just a week on a yacht. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to do something. Yeah, you got to make it big. It could happen. I just think that it just, yeah, it'd have to be someone, a third party, to be able to do it.
It's all business at the end of the day, right? You know, you got these competing entities, and the only things that suffer the most are the fans, right? And the anglers ultimately, because you guys would damn sure fish against each other and would jump at the opportunity. You know, it's just
I think there's a lot of that way. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of divide over it, but I think we're all sort of settled in that, and it's all for the good too.
Yeah.
I think you look at just like, I thought about this the other day, and I try to like step back. At first it's like, yeah, man, no bass. Then they were just getting one over on us. And then, you know, you're just always just how it is. And you see here this, and grass is always greener. But one thing that it ultimately did do, like I looked back at the payout when MDJ won, when we were leaving to go to BPT, and I was like, wow, we used to, like, if you got sixth, you got like, I think I got sixth in a tournament, like, you got like $14,000 or something like that for sixth place. And I'm like, what? And now you look at the payouts now on both sides, and they're way higher. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so there were some really good things that came from the divide that allowed for to ample and give the angler more opportunity. And I was like, that is really good. Like that, like right there, if you look at either side, if you look at Bass, you look at MLF, and you look at the payouts, they've gone up and they've made it better. Now, is it what it used to be in 2000?
You know, Irwin Jacobs days.
Yeah. It's not that, but it's better than it was. And that's something that, like, as anglers, we should always push to elevate the sport. And, you know, I think we've given other anglers, everybody, you know, as a whole, we've done a good job of being able to do that and give everybody the opportunity to make more money.
Well, I think what it did too, on a positive side of it, is it gave some guys new platforms. It gave some guys that we haven't seen before. We've got more stars, and not saying these guys would not have risen to the top, so to speak, had the split not happened, but there's only so many spots, right? If it was, you know, that we were doing our thing on the FLW tour and you had the elites, but other than that, you didn't have anything. You didn't have anything that had coverage. And then whenever BPT created another layer, basically, in the sport at that upper echelon, it did allow some guys to kind of fill the void when the swap happened. And there are a lot of names that I really don't believe the sport would know now, like they do, maybe not as fast as they do or did find out about these people had that not happened. You know, I want it to settle down even more. And I'm anxious to see this year with the five fish deal, man. I know it's going to be fun for you guys.
It will be. I'm excited.
And we'll probably see you hoist a few of them damn trophies, I'm sure.
I'm going to try to reel one in. I'm not so sure I can catch five of them suckers anymore. So we're going to find out.
Dude, five. You catch like 500 in them every fish. Like, what are you talking about? You can catch five. You have a hard time finding just the five that you want to, like, finish your day with. That's going to be your biggest problem.
I'm not going to reel that many in. I'm going to try not.
I've seen it. It's like, okay. Score tracker update. 10th place is Brian Thrift. He's got 16 pounds. All right. I'm just going to give you an update here at the top. Jacob Weir's got 296 pounds. Been a lot of those, dude. It's ridiculous. So I know some boys, they can say what they want to. They were trying to put a governor on your ass. They're sick of it. Jacob Weir, you're the man. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Congratulations on the 200 show, man. I appreciate you having me on. I really do. Hey,
you go kick off the year in that icon down there with a win and an invitational.
I'm going to try to reel one in for you.
Well, all right. That's all she wrote with the Ding King himself, Mr. Wheeler. Got the sauce right there presented by the W Sauce. And we appreciate them bringing you all these fine guests that we are having via the video chat these days. We are so sophisticated here at Low Budget Live this year. I'm actually enjoying that more than I used to, the video chat. But we appreciate the folks from the W Sauce making all of this possible. And I appreciate Jacob, man. He is, we were talking earlier before we did the show and just about his schedule and all the things he's fishing this year. And I'm just glad he could carve out some time because that boy goes hard in the paint, whether it's pre-fishing, as we mentioned there, you know, just sponsor work, fishing every event. Man, he fishes at home. He's He's always on the go, and he's a father. So it was my honor to have him on here. I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in and week out to Low Budget Live, you bunch of low lifers. I hope we can do this for another 200 episodes. Hell, maybe even more. Who knows? Sky is the limit. Working on the Bassmaster Classic live party still. I think we got us a venue pretty well picked out there. Hoping it all works out. If not, we're going to work on another one. But I got one that I'm talking back and forth with right now. I'll give you all the details on that sooner than later. Hopefully, fingers crossed. And then I hope a lot of y'all are in Knoxville to come party with us, because that is going to be a throw down. Thank y'all for everything. We'll take you out with some Biloxi Blues, as always. And I will see y'all next week.
I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.